And I am just going to start preaching as we pass those bowls of water around. And so hold that bowl for as long or as short as you need to. Last week, we spent our first Sunday of the new year in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. This week, we're back to the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospel of Matthew is a gospel that in this year of the Christian calendar, we will spend several weeks in. And so as you're maybe thinking about Bible reading for the new year, consider taking on Matthew as your gospel for 2011. Here's some quick reminders about the Gospel of Matthew, written by one of the disciples, Matthew, probably in the era of 70 to 80 CE. You'll notice that Matthew borrows many of the stories and writings from the Gospel of Mark. The audience for the Gospel of Matthew is Jewish Christians who are committed to the Gentile mission. And the themes of Matthew, you'll find, the repeating themes are Jesus is Son of God. Jesus is God present with us in miraculous power. Jesus is the church's Lord. And the gospel of the kingdom is for all people. And some things to remember as you're reading the Gospel of Matthew is that you really join in this journey with the 12 disciples. And you get to proclaim Jesus, who's the face of God. But at the same time, not only proclaiming him, but doing that by living like him, living like this Christ. And doing that individually, and we do that corporately as the church. Today is the baptism of Jesus Sunday, and like I said, not all of us have been baptized, and I don't assume that. But today is a good day to remember being washed anew, being cleansed from our sins. Or maybe if you have been baptized as a baby, as a teenager, as an adult, if that is a good memory for you, then the baptism of Jesus Sunday is a good Sunday to pause and reflect on God's kindness and grace in your life. And today's text is pointing us to this idea that we are loved. And so today, maybe enter into the story by just cultivating this in your imagination, that you're standing in line with Jesus. Because that's what's happening in today's story. Jesus joins this line of people who are going to be baptized by John the Baptist. He's waiting. He's watching. He's noticing us. He's nurturing. This is Jesus as Emmanuel. God with us. God for us. God standing next to us saying, "You're not alone. I am with you. You are loved." So I want to talk about two movements from today's text, two movements of the loved life. And the first is the beloved life. And as I said, the focus verse is in the second part of verse 16, where in the midst of the Holy Spirit or the Trinity showing up at Jesus' baptism, this is a dramatic moment. The heavens opening up, the dove coming down, and this voice from heaven saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." I hope that's the voice that you long to hear. And the voice that at different times in your journey of faith and life, you do hear. But I recognize that lots of stuff gets in the way, whether that be present stuff, future stuff, past stuff. I was reflecting on that this week, and I thought about my father, who passed away just over 2 years ago. A good man, a hardworking man, a responsible man. In our family, the Satos didn't learn martial arts. They learned the art of hoeing, the garden. My dad was this perfectionist. He would show you how to hoe, And he would dig out weeds just magically. He'd get all the root, and there'd be no residual dirt. And so we would spend our years as youngsters and teenagers learning this art. No, you must get more root, less dirt. He was a perfectionist, always striving for excellence. And yet the thing my dad struggled with was words of affirmation to us kids. And so one of my boyhood memories is being at Scouts, at a Cub Scout banquet, father-son banquet. And the MC of this banquet says to the tables gathered round, he says, "I want you fathers to go around and say one good thing about your son, something you appreciate about your son." And it comes to my dad's turn, and he nervously shrugs his shoulders, laughingly says, "What's so good about him?" This is the stuff that gets in the way. And you probably have your own stories, your stories of joy or sadness in trying to hear the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased." Or, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." On the baptism of Jesus Sunday, we are called to remember God's love and to remember the voice of God that always, always, always says to us, "You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." What might it look like for us to actually hear this anew in 2011? I was thinking that's why it's so important for us to be a church that's a place of spiritual formation, a church that recognizes that our journey with God is a long obedience in the same direction. And so even as you begin this new year, I urge you to find those places where you can hear this voice. Maybe it's silence. Maybe it's a time of solitude. Maybe it's walking the prayer labyrinth that we have laid out in our prayer chapel this month. Maybe it's by singing a hymn and really embracing those words. Maybe it's joining in on a prayer. Maybe it's practicing Sabbath. Whatever you need to do, do it as you start off this new year. Get to that place where you hear the voice of God saying, "Beloved daughter, beloved son, with you I am well pleased." Just to be clear, the voice of God does not say things like, "Lousy Christian, you're not worthy, you don't belong here, oh, you want to get baptized? I'm going to need you to take care of ... before that happens. Or, "What's so good about you?" If you want to test the voice of God, test it against these scriptures that we've heard today. Or the Isaiah 42 text, "Here is my servant who I am uphold, my chosen." Or in 42, verse 6, "I am the Lord, I called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you." I hope we can sit with these phrases of love. This week in News and Notes, I'm going to send you a link to an email link to Henry Nouwen's 8 talks on YouTube. He did a series called Being the Beloved. 8 different talks. They're all 8 minutes or less. And maybe that might be a way that you might hear the voice of God this week, by hearing Henry Nouwen talk about being the beloved. And so I urge you, that might be another way to hear the voice of God. Now, lest you think that I'm the contemplative pastor who just wants us to bask in love and do nothing, the second movement of the loved life is what I'm calling the do-loved life. The be-loved life and the do-loved life. Because as we follow Jesus through Matthew, we see that after his baptism and hearing these words of affirmation and love and confirmation and assurance, that then Jesus goes out and begins his ministry, his three-year ministry on earth. And it's interesting that it starts with the temptation in the desert, but that's for another day. But Jesus lived and moved, ministered, and acted from this place of belovedness. So as we follow the Jesus way in the world, we're called to do the same. And I thought we might just, in the next couple of minutes, use Isaiah 42 to help us with the so what. What do we do? In Isaiah 42, the servant song, we see many things that the servant does. And I'd like to frame it in the words of gentle justice. Gentle justice. Isaiah is a prophet who's preaching and prophesying to God's people around 900 to 700 BCE in that era. And he's talking to God's people about the compassion and mercy and faithfulness and love of God. But at the same time, he's saying, you as God's people, even though you're in exile, are called to be this kind of people. A people of compassion, a people of love, a people of faithfulness, a people of mercy. So a few verses that we might hang on to as we think about gentle justice. In verses 6 and 7 of Isaiah 42, I have given you as a covenant, a promise to the people, a light to the nations. And then it's fleshed out in verse 7, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, to bring out from prison those who sit in darkness. You and I are called, we're invited, we're compelled to do something in the midst of our being loved. We're called to gently move into places. And if we follow the way of Jesus, we won't break hearts. We won't quench spirits. As one commentator put it this week, we will cup our hands around the dimmest wick until they begin to shine. I love that image. We will cup our hands around the dimmest wick until they begin to shine. If you're a part of this worshiping community, then I've got a hunch that if you got out of bed on a snowy, cold, gray January morning to come to church, that you're doing these things, that you are being a people of gentle justice, that you are helping blind people see, that you are gently leading people out of their dungeons of grief or sorrow or despair or brokenheartedness, that you are courageously and compassionately bringing prisoners of fear and oppression from places of darkness to places of light. God is finding his way to love us and then also to encourage us and enliven us to be these people who do love. So today, in a closing moment of silent prayer and reflection, I urge you to take this time to hear the voice of God, to hear the community of the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, saying to you, to me, to us as a corporate faith community, these are my daughters, these are my sons, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. In a moment of silence, let's pray and listen together. May God the Father bless us. May Christ the Son take care of us. May the Holy Spirit enlighten us all the days of our life. The Lord be our defender and keeper of body and soul, both now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen.